This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, December 12th, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a hip-hop villanelle. Natasha N. Nevada Diggs is a poet and sound artist born and raised in Harlem, where she still resides. Her first book of poems is called Twerk, and it came out this year, months before Miley Cyrus twerked her way into the hearts of adolescent American boys. Terrence Hayes called her book a dope jam of dictions, a remixed, multicultural, polyphonic dance of vocabularies, a language of high stakes, hijinks, and hybridity. Natasha N. Nevada Diggs is the guest blogger this month for Harriet, PoetryFoundation.org's poetry blog. So we thought it was a good moment to hear from her on Poetry Off the Shelf. Natasha, so we're going to hear you read your poem, The Originator. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about it to help set it up before we listen?
The motivation behind the poem was that I wanted to honor some DJs that I knew of specifically from hip hop culture, like DJ Jazzy Joyce and Grandmaster Flash, just a host of DJs that were pretty popular on the radio, like Red Alert and Kid Capri and Clark Kent. That's basically what the gist of the poem is. It's a dedication to DJs.
Is there any significance in the title, The Originator?
Oh, yeah, because I was thinking primarily of the DJs that I mentioned. I consider them originators, OGs, you know. They've been deeply rooted in the tradition and very consistent with continuing it. So I look at them as originators.
Mm-hmm. Were you deliberately trying to imitate a hip-hop rhythm in this poem?
I can't give you a specific MC. It's kind of like a mashup of several. But also looking at the MC as the person who gets the party going. So this would be the MC that would be at the block parties. So party MCs, braggadocio MCs, MCs that worked alongside with the DJ.
All right. So here's Natasha N. Nevada Diggs reading The Originator.
Here's the remedy for your chronic whiplash. Coming to you via triple ones on a mission. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Check your dial and boss the rock before a fella dip dash. Grand to slam a party, peep two needles in collision. Here's the remedy for your chronic whiplash. Flay your dome with a pinch of Chiba succotash. Got my avenue peeking, rapid circumcision. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Ululate the call, God's never caught tongue lash. Tweak an EQ, my hash sparks double vision. Here's a remedy for your chronic whiplash. Got my tambourine for your partner, pass the calabash. Smile for the DJ when the cut spits, peep the precision. Papa Willie for originators of the flash. Never fret what the beat can establish in the trash. Master meter on Orion starship blast with supervision. Here's the remedy for your chronic whiplash. Papa Willie for originators of the flash.
Now, if you were to perform this in front of an audience, it cries out for a beat behind it. Have you ever done that? Read your poems with music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I've worked with musicians. You kind of get used to hearing some type of rhythm, some type of beat behind your poem. But also the other thing about this poem is that it's me kind of toying with the villanelle form.
Yeah, I was going to say, the repetitions are in there. The lines that keep on repeating throughout.
Yeah.
And they seem to culminate at the end, just like a villanelle does. Yeah. So how were you toying with it? Tell us about that.
I mean, I was toying with, I think visually, I was just not impressed by how a villanelle should look like on a piece of paper.
A little too straight. Right?
Yeah, way too straight. But I think what really attracted me to the villanelle is the fact that it does have this sort of refrain, which can be a hook.
Yeah, that's right. It's a hook, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's a repeat, like a hook in a pop song.
Yeah.
It repeats over and over.
So the villanelle just felt right with this theme. Also, I mean, with hip hop, you know, if you looked at how rap lyrics are constructed, it just kind of made sense.
I would have never made that connection, but now that you've written it in this way and now that you said that, I do make that connection. Let me go through some of the language. I get it that it's a party atmosphere. I get it now that it's an MC or a DJ getting the party going. But I specifically, pop a wheelie for the originators of the Flash. Uh-huh. Is that referring to anything in particular?
Pretty much like clockwork every summer. Fairly young, I would even argue to say some of them might be a little bit too old to be doing what, you know, they're doing.
I've seen them.
But,
yeah.
You know, one of their main tricks is to pop a willy, you know, which is to, like, pull up that bike and mm-hmm. ride on the back wheel, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a three-wheel dirt bike or a two-wheel dirt mm-hmm. bike. And they'll do that the entire day. Like, they'll find one main street mm-hmm. in Harlem that's Lenox Avenue. So it's connected to that summer party.
And then how about Grand Slam a Party, Peep Two Needles in Collision? That has something to do with the way the turntable is used.
Right? Yeah, and Grand, of course, is Grandmaster Flash.
Grand to Slam, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
That's his name in there, and that's a great home run in there as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, the two needles are the two turntables.
How about Flare Your Dome with a Pinch of Chiba Succotash?
Well, yeah, Chiba, mm-hmm. narcotic.
Okay.
Succotash is just playing with it. But, you know, succotash is also like the main ingredient in your gumbo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's playing around with two things. Either it's marijuana or gumbo. Yeah.
I see. Let me try one more in here because it's so much fun. Never fret what the beat can establish in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
That line has to do a lot with just how innovative folks were with just the bare minimum of equipment, mm-hmm. even broken equipment. One of my brothers would use broken headphones as microphone.
Uh-huh.
Basically say, okay, it's broke, but I could use this. We'll plug it into here. That's how he made his little microphone for when he would make his mixtapes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's really about the mastery of recycling and repurposing to create the music.
And this poem is a celebration of that innovation and what they created.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've asked you to choose a poem by another poet to read on the podcast, and you chose Requiem for a Nest by Wanda Coleman. Tell us a little bit about Wanda Coleman, if you would, and then I'll ask you about this poem.
Well, she wrote a lot about her community.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a lot about what it was, is to be a Black woman living in poverty. She wrote a lot about L.A. Reading her work, even though it's based over in the West Coast, there's a lot of things I find that resonate about my own experiences living in New York.
And Requiem for a Nest, is there anything that would help us to know before you read it?
No.
Okay. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Okay. Here's Requiem for a Nest by Wanda Coleman.
The wing thing built her dream palace amid the fine green eyes of a sheltering bough. She did not know it was urban turf, disguised as serenely, delusionally rural. Nor did she know the neighborhood was rife with slant mawed felines and those long talon swoopers of prey. She was ignorant of the acidity and oil that slowly polluted the earth and was never to detect the serpent coiled one strong limb below. Following her nature, she flitted and dove for whatever blades, twigs, and mud could be found under the humming blue and created a hatchery for her spawn, not knowing all were doomed.
Wow. What a blighted portrait of an urban neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And she's focusing on the smallest thing around, basically.
A bird.
A bird.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you suppose she does that? What's its effect?
I think its effect is to look at the tiniest thing and how it is affected by everything in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't, per se, need to look at even a human body, but how it affects something that small. I think that's what she wants us
to. The smallest thing is affected
by
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this bird that's had the misfortune of settling in the wrong neighborhood to build its nest.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that these slant mod felines, I understand why that would be a problem for the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And the swoopers of prey, the owls or whatever, hawks. What I don't get is to detect the serpent coiled one strong limb below. The serpent here, it's not likely to be a real serpent in an urban setting.
So, I think it might be an electrical wire.
The electrical wire, right.
Yeah.
Or I read that as kind of us.
Mm-hmm,
people.
Mm-hmm.
Electrical wire makes much more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's not clear in the poem is who's to blame for this environment?
It's not even
part of it, right?
I don't think it's part of it. I don't think she's interested in pointing a finger as she is with capturing a little snippet and presenting it to the reader.
Natasha Indovetta Diggs is blogging this month on Harriet, the poetry blog of poetryfoundation.org, where you can read some of her poems and poems by Wanda Coleman, who died earlier this year. You can subscribe to this podcast and the Poetry Magazine podcast in the iTunes Store, or you can stream them straight from our site, poetryfoundation.org. If you have any comments on this program, email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.